Hello, welcome to Cinespection, the show where we review summer movies after the summer.
When they're streaming, sort of, and they're not on Disney Plus, and they make you want to pay for it, but you don't want to.
You paid for this? Jesus Christ.
I did not.
Oh, okay. Did you? Don't say how you watched it then.
I actually just used a French streaming, so it's fine. It's not as bad as you were thinking of an illegal download or something.
I guess I sort of paid for it. I have the AMC Stubbs thing, so you can watch as many movies you want. So I guess I sort of paid for it, but I didn't. We're talking about Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny, the 2023 non-hit, this movie.
It's not that. It's not a hit by any means, but I know that you hate this movie. I know that you hate this movie more than you hate most movies, and that's
I don't remember hating a movie as much since the last Indiana Jones movie. I don't remember it. If there was one that I hated as much as this, because there's some movies like, you know, if you think about like Black Adam or something, you're just like, ugh. You know, just like,
I mean, it's bad. I think Black Adam was way worse than this. Like, way worse.
Well, Black Adam doesn't hit me in the feels.
Yeah, I mean, okay, so, like, let's get into what we like, don't like. I know that yours is mostly don't like. I actually have a lot that I like from this movie and a couple dislikes from this movie that I think are hard to get past, and I think that that's why so many people hate this movie.
Interesting. Well, I watched it 2 months ago, so everything will not be fresh in my mind. I'm really trying hard to erase it from my memory, so let's hope that's a successful endeavor. All right, so full spoilers. Everybody's seen this.
Yeah, we're going full spoilers on this. Everybody's seen it. Who's gonna see it? If you're not gonna see it, don't. I mean, I'll go ahead and we can start out. Like, you already know, like, Gabe's not gonna recommend this movie. And I'll go ahead and say I probably won't recommend this movie, which is contrary to what he's gonna think that I was gonna say, but I'm not gonna recommend this movie. And it's not because I think it's a bad Indiana Jones movie. I actually think that the plot of this movie, if it was written 30 years ago, could have been a really good Indiana Jones plot.
I agree with that.
I think that
the MacGuffin and those things are interesting.
All of those things are in there, right? So that is my savior of this, actually, is that, like, the underlying story there could have been written 30 years ago, could have had a Harrison Ford. And when I say 30 years ago, I actually mean it. I mean, like, in the 90s, right? Like, I'm not talking about, like, back when.
The fugitive kind of era, yeah. Air Force One, Harrison Ford.
Yeah, exactly. Like, he would have been a little bit older, but he would have, like, been retired. So we can jump into kind of the plot of this movie. And I'll do a quick John explains the plot, but there's really not much here. So there.
Or a lot. There's a lot, because it's a long ass movie. Like,
it's really long. It's really, really long for what it is. It should be a 90-minute movie, but we always talk about that.
But this one especially, like,
there's just 2.5 hours. It is long, long, long.
The action sequences go on forever. Mm-hmm. Forever. Yeah. Like, they are boring action sequences.
So these are the things that I can't get over. It's like the action sequences are way too long. The movie itself is over the top, way too long. I think that Harrison Ford just, I hate to say too old. I don't want to sound ageist or anything, but, like, you feel bad. Like, this isn't the Indiana Jones that you want to see, right? Like, it's not, one, there's no dynamic with his son or anything. That's all been erased. Erased in the way that, like, his son died. Like, that's how they wrote him off. And it basically just means Crystal Skull is forgotten out of this for the most part, right? Like, you don't need to see it at all.
Well, I mean, the sun is, like, comes from Crystal Skull, but, like, I don't mind him being old. I'm like, whatever, man, you want to make him old, like, but just go with it. I think, like, if you're gonna have, like, an 80-year-old man being an action star, then just go with it and embrace how ridiculous that is. Like, you know what I mean?
The Expendables, like, level of, like,
exactly. Just do the Expendables, or do, like, you know, like, what's that movie where the grandmother, like, fights people? There's some movie where the grandmother is, like, an old lady, and then she becomes a ninja or whatever. Like, you know, I don't know what movie it is, but there's one. that I can't think of right now. But like, just the movie, the first like 20 minutes, like 20, 25 minutes is just like hitting you in the head with like, this is a pathetic, sad, weak old.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden he jumps, he goes on an adventure, and you're expecting to, like, every time somebody would punch him or he would fall, I would be like, you know, like whenever grandpa falls, you're like, oh no. You know, it's like, it almost, it's like, why are you doing this? You already told me this guy is like, if you blow on it, like on his face, it's going to break, you know?
Yeah. And I mean, he's a broken. And the other thing I don't like about his character or the way that they portray it is it's much like we saw in when they redid Star Wars, you know, the 789 and Harrison Ford in that. He played a grumpy, old, curmudgeoned, like, didn't care about the world. Like, everything was horrible.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
Like, and Luke was the same
energy.
Way.
There was some energy to him that they chose not to have here. Because Harrison Ford has it. If you look at him on interviews, like, he's still got it. And there's some energy to Han Solo and Force Awakens that just here, like, yeah, I agree with you. They just turned his characters into, like broken, sad men. And again, in Force Awakens, it sort of worked. There was a joy of him like bonding with Rey. And
yeah, there was like
Chewbacca. That arc
that they were trying to bring. And they were in Force Awakens when they had that, it was really a rehash of that same plot line with Luke, right? When he met Luke in A New Hope, he was curmudgeoned, he was angry, he was like, you know, a scoundrel. But Indiana Jones is kind of like, I don't know, if James Bond was like a archaeologist, like that's how I've always looked at Indiana Jones, right? Like, I know that sounds weird, but like,
well, kind of basically that he gets the women, he gets the stuff done. There's more like
he always, you know, he always is sneaking in somewhere and like, you know, yeah, exactly. He just like James Bond, he always gets.
It's instead a clever of his main action that. Adventure hero, like, you know, and that's basically James Bond. He has his gadgets in a different level, like the whip is sort of, you know what I mean? Like,
but in this, it just kind of all falls apart. And that's my problem. Like, I think that if the script were with a young Harrison Ford, and let me stop right there. I don't mean a young Harrison Ford as in some artificial intelligence or some deep fake or some anything. Like, that to me was the worst part about this entire movie. Was that was worse than him being angry. That was worse than like the weirdness with him and the girl who was like his goddaughter.
We'll talk about her in a minute. Yeah. Yes.
But the CG and the deep fake or whatever from the first 20 minutes of the movie, I would say that whole thing. And I messaged you, it looks like Polar Express. Like
it's not actually on a train too.
Funny enough. Yeah. But not in a good way. It looks like Polar Express Polar Express is from 2005 being CG on purpose.
Well, that's the biggest thing right now. Like, you know, if you think about movies, like I was rewatching like Avengers Infinity War and Endgame, like I think last weekend. Brilliant movies. Like they work perfectly, you know, whatever. But the problem that these movies, like these superhero movies have, like the precedent that they've set is that now an action movie has to be like defiant of all, except for the John Wicks of the world and stuff like that. But most of the action, like just defies all sense of logic and reason. And it's just completely preposterous. Like, you know, an action sequence now is like you're in a car and then you jump on a plane and then that plane blows up and you fall in the water and then a shark attacks you. And then it's completely like preposterous.
It one-ups itself. And like the perfect example, and I know you love this series, but Fast and Furious, where they like take a car and they like hook it and they swing a car across the giant chasm. Yes. Like,
but that movie, it's like the concept of those movies has become that, like those movies are, it's supposed to be ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like here, it's sort of asking you to take it seriously in the way that you take a Marvel movie seriously.
Yeah.
Which I'm did you watch the new Aquaman trailer?
I have not. No.
No. Well, anyway, there's a scene where he's sort of like pushing some sort of, I don't know how you call this, submarine, underwater ship, whatever you call those things. And he's sort of like just him and his pitchfork. They're pushing this like massive like vehicle back, and he's like, remember that scene in like Spider-Man 2 where Spider-Man's trying to like hold back the train?
Oh,
back?
The train, yeah.
It's sort of like that, but it's like completely CGI, and like the environment is breaking, you know, in reaction to Aquaman's feet. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know exactly. I know what you mean. Yeah.
Yeah. And when comparing it to like, let's say that Spider-Man scene, which is really, you know, really well made. Like that scene is really well put together, a combination of CGI and practical. But you see Spider-Man sort of really struggling. And at one point he tries to break the train tracks to stop the train, and his feet start hurting really, really bad. And then his suit starts breaking, and you see him like really like it's just really hard, and then he passes out. There's some sort of like physical toll on these characters. And then you watch these newer movies like Indiana Jones or the Avengers movies, which again, the Avengers, it works because they're superheroes. But you watch these like Indiana Jones try like recover from those kinds of things. It just doesn't make any damn sense. Nothing.
So the CG doesn't fit, right? Because it's everybody. And this is, I don't know if they did this on purpose, but every single person in the first 15, 20 minutes of this movie feels like they've been touched with CG.
Yeah, like, yeah. I mean, they are, because they appear later in the movie as older people. So,
yeah. Like Mads Mikkelsen looks really weird.
CGI. Yeah. What's this guy's name? The guy from Captain America? His friend?
Toby Jones. Yeah.
Toby Jones is like, everybody's like de-aged, and it's just disgusting. And it's not just like the deep fake, like to your point on the Polar Express, like they get on top of the train, and it's almost like Mario Brothers, like when you're playing Mario and you're on top of a train and you don't fall.
And then there's like that whole scene, and actually funny enough, this scene's been done so many times. I just saw this scene done in Mission Impossible literally like 3 months ago.
Yeah.
Where they're on top of the train and it's a tunnel, so they have to duck and they have to jump. And then they're fighting back and forth. And that scene takes forever in this movie, honestly. And then it ends, and like they jump off the train because it's going to crash. And like you said, it's just one thing after another, after another, after another. And like some of those things are very typical Indiana Jones. That's why I said the script's not bad. There's a one scene where the train, there's an anti-aircraft gun, and it's like going off, and it's like, and it's just killing the Nazis one at a time. That is something that I would expect in an Indiana Jones movie. Specifically, I would have expected it in the Holy Grail. Like, right? Like that would have been what I expected, because, and it would have been a joke, and it would have been Sean Connery accidentally like tumbled over something and like turned a lever that then made the anti-aircraft gun like blow up all the Nazis on the train. And we would have laughed, and it would have been hilarious, and it would have been perfect. But we don't have Sean Connery. And we don't have a 50-year-old Harrison Ford, and we don't have any of it. Like Mads isn't in his, you know, early 30s like he was supposed to be in this. So you end up with this completely CG thing, and you take
it doesn't feel real. The danger. No,
that's what I was getting. It just doesn't feel right. It doesn't.
It's again like the thing you were mentioning, Fast and the Furious. Like it also doesn't feel real. Yeah. But again, there the movie's going with it. Like they just—it's just so ridiculous. They're like, "Yeah, well, this is stupid. Let's just be as dumb as we can." Here, it's sort of like trying to go for that '80s charm.
Yep.
Of like, this is kind of dumb, but like, you know, but sort of like, just I don't think you can capture that charm in a modern movie. Like, because modern audiences, like when you're watching a new movie, you don't go for that. Like, for example, the kid. Like, you know, drives the plane at the end.
Oh yeah, but like because he's set. That's all set up in like a bar scene where he's like flying a fake plane or something.
Right, but, right. But in the '80s, you would have been like, yeah, of course, a kid is flying the plane. Like Temple of Doom starts with Short Round driving a car. Like, you know what I mean? It's just ridiculous things. Like, you know, or like even one of the first scenes in Raiders. Like Indiana Jones gets on a plane and there's a snake there who's like his friend.
Oh yeah, and he like throws out the snake. So that's what I mean. Like you can see that these scenes were written into the script, right? Like these scenes that are quintessential, what I call Indiana Jones-esque scenes. They were written into the script, but you can't deliver it today. You could have delivered it 30 years ago. You could have had it without all this CG, with the right actors and everything else, but you can't deliver it today. And that's why I won't recommend, like that's why this doesn't get John's stamp of approval. It's just because it's not what it could be.
And well, like I get your point on the like the idea of like these evil Nazis, you know, conspiring from the U.S. up to, because the U.S. did take in a lot of Nazis after World War II, and you know they were actually responsible for the Apollo program.
Werner von Braun.
Exactly, mostly him. Those are true things that you sort of take a spin on to make them the villains of your movie, and you know,
and it worked in the originals. That's why, like,
it would have
the Ark of the Covenant, right? Like, that's right. The perfect. It takes something that was very slightly true, right? Like Hitler was obsessed with the occult and like all these things, and then they bend it into their need, just like this. They took something that is slightly true. We know, like, the mirrors. We know about all that stuff, right? Like. That's historical, and we know that part of that's true. So it made sense to be able to take some weird clock and be like, oh yeah, Archimedes invented this. Whatever, we need to keep it. It's the secret to time travel. I can dispense with my realistic, you know, my cynical brain for a little bit. But it just doesn't. The movie doesn't work even with those pieces in it.
Well, I mean, that's what I mean. Like, you're saying, like, the script would have worked in, like, the 90s, slightly older Indiana Jones. Yes, but what really annoyed me about this is how, like old they try to make sure you know Indiana Jones is. That's what drives me crazy. Mm-hmm. It drove me crazy to see, like, them telling you, look how old he is. So if they would have made, like, the MacGuffin story and the goddaughter story, like, whatever, like, some elements to this, except for the element of age, you know, I would have been all in, because I like, for example, like Salah, I like Salah, you know, and then I saw the trailer and the trailer looked like fairly generic, but I liked that Salah was like saying, give him hell,
Indiana Jones. Yeah.
And I was like, that's such a Salah line. You know, I was like, mm-hmm. That's awesome. But then the movie, they intercut him with like an old person almost getting run over by a car. It's like, you can't even give me my Salah moment. And then Salah's like a sad cop driver in New York City who lives with like 20 grandchildren in a tiny apartment.
Like, that was like...
Like, in Salah, doesn't have anything to do with the movie. He's just there to give you some sort of nostalgia, because everybody else, like all of Indy's other friends, are either, you know, dead in the movies or dead in real life, you know? So it's like, there's nothing else to give you. So I don't know, get, you know... Salah for a couple of scenes.
New York City plot line didn't make sense. Like, he wasn't at the same university that he was at in all the other movies.
Like, Indiana Jones lived in like a nice suburban house, mm-hmm. you know, and then all of a sudden he moves to this like shithole apartment in hippie New York. It just doesn't make any sense.
That part made no sense to me.
It's just, so he's pathetic and he falls asleep in the couch. Yeah. He sleeps in the couch all night, and it's just like, pathetic. And then they introduce Elena, or Helena. Is it Elena? Helena? I think it's Helena.
I don't know. Yeah.
Whatever. Goddaughter, played by Phoebe Waller-Bridge, who, I don't know. I think we talked about this before, but I've never seen Fleabag. Did you watch Fleabag?
Okay, so I've heard of it, but I've never seen it.
It's same here. I don't know. I've never seen it. I'm sure it's fantastic, but why the hell, what was it about Fleabag that made Hollywood be like, let's put Phoebe Waller-Bridge in every franchise? Because she was in this. She was in Star Wars. Remember, she played that robot in Solo. And she also...
I forgot about that.
Yes. And she also helped write the screenplay for No Time to Die, as per the request of Daniel Craig.
Weird.
So that's, it's like...
really strange, yeah.
Like, I'm sure she's talented. I didn't mind her here. I didn't find much attachment to her character one way or the other. Many people were like, oh, they want to make it into the female Indiana Jones. Like, well, you know, if they do that, it's not really like a good idea, because they didn't really sold me on the character.
If that was their plan, they did a horrible job at it.
They did a horrible job. Yeah. Like I said, I'm sure she's very talented in Fleabag, and she's done other things I'm sure she's talented in. But in Star Wars, Indiana Jones, and No Time to Die, I've not been the...
I mean, my... know,
I don't hate her.
My bigger problem is that they didn't make her a likable character or have a good transformation, or, like, you're introduced to her and... it's just like, oh, okay, her name is Wombat, and that's his granddaughter. And you think that, like, for a minute, I'm like, okay, she's... Well, goddaughter, yeah. And I'm just like, Also, by the way, why would that be his? Like, if he's this old, that would be like, he's like a solid 50 years older than her or something. Well, I guess his wife is, but still. Anyway, yeah, yeah. I just didn't think that they made her likable enough to see the twist, right? Like, as like an actual twist, it was like, of course she's going to screw him over from the moment that she meets him. Like, I just assumed, like, oh, she's going to screw him over. Like, that's what she's here to do. Like,
screws him over continuously. And it was also spoiled by the trailer. So I wasn't really good. But here's the thing. And this is where we start with the Crystal Skull comparisons. Like, many people hated Shia LaBeouf in Crystal Skull. Yeah. I think Crystal Skull has a lot of problems. I don't believe Shia was one of them. I think he was. I like that they didn't try to make him like another Indiana Jones. He was sort of like, you know, a greaser and had his own things. And I loved how, like, you know, at first Indiana Jones was like, you should do whatever makes you happy. Don't listen to anybody. And then he finds out he's his son. He's like, you're going back to school. It's like, that's something like I can picture my dad doing, you know, or like most like older people. So I like those parts. And then
those weren't my problems with Crystal Skull.
No, we'll get to those. Yeah. But if you remember, the last shot of Crystal Skull is like they're at the wedding at the church, and then air blows, you know, the doors open and there's like a gust of wind. And then Indiana Jones's hat falls to the floor. And then there's this scene of like Shia LaBeouf. Picks it up and is about to put it on. And then Harrison Ford just takes the hat from him. He was like, no, man, you ain't it. It's only me. Like, it was kind of a, like, something that I was like, yeah, you know, it's like,
yeah, like a good send off.
It was a good send off. It's like, no, man, like, there's only one Indiana Jones here, and that's me. Right. And this one didn't have any of that. It was just like, here's a character. We might spin her off but there's nothing.
Like, nothing if they spin this off, I'd be kind of shocked. I don't think that they're going to spin it off.
No, this movie tanked. Like, yeah, it didn't do well at all.
Yeah,
it cost a fortune. I suspect it didn't. The full costs were not. I think it was in development hell for 15 years or more, 18 years, I guess. I don't think like the costs were all for production. I think they put the cost of it being in development hell during production on top of it. And that's why it was so expensive. But that's my interpretation. Nobody said this, as far as I know.
So my problem with Crystal Skull is that I don't like it as an Indiana. Like, I don't mind the characters in the movie. I don't like the plot line as an Indiana Jones movie. Like, it sounds really weird, but if I'm watching an Indiana Jones movie, I want there to be Nazis for whatever reason. Like, I don't.
Temple of Doom doesn't have Nazis.
Yeah, that's true. But it's also my favorite.
The Russians were good replacements for Nazis, I think.
They were okay.
The same. They're the same. That you can call them Russians. Like, they're the same kind of like goofy, evil.
I guess they're like goofy, like henchmen level people. But I don't know. This worked better. This whole plot, and there's no aliens. There's no like spoiler for an even older movie than this. Like, you know, this is more. I don't know. This feels better, like in an Indiana Jones context for me.
I don't disagree because, yeah, I don't like Crystal Skull at all. Like, but here's the thing about Crystal Skull. Let's talk about it from a filmmaking perspective and not as an Indiana Jones sequel, right?
Mm-hmm.
The movie was meant to be a sort of homage to 1950s UFO movies, right? Yeah. So in that sense, that's what it does. It's sort of like, how would Indiana Jones react to a UFO? They're not really UFOs. They're interdimensional beings or whatever, which, you know, whatever. They're aliens, right?
They're aliens.
But it's sort of like taking the Indiana Jones, like, adventure concept and just putting it in the context of aliens. The aliens are just a part of the last, like, 5 minutes of the movie, right? Yeah. I get that approach. Whether it worked or not is debatable. I don't believe it did. But I get why you would want to try something like that. Because if you think about it, like, Raiders of the Lost Ark is about, like, religion, about the power of God.
Yes.
And then you sort of say, you know, the power of God is like real, right? And then the second one is about voodoo, and, you know, I mean, it's just like, it's kind of like, yeah, whatever you make up. It now makes sense because you spent your life growing up with these movies, but it could equally make sense to just say there's interdimensional beings in this universe, you know?
Yeah.
I'm not trying to justify it, but. And then the biggest thing about Indiana Jones and the Crystal Skull that's different from this one is that, like, the action sequences are really well shot within like they're mostly practical. They're so practical that they, when they go for the CGI, you notice.
Yeah. Like, I mean, there's also a big difference between directors. But I mean,
absolutely. James Mangold is really good. Like James Mangold could have delivered. Like, I can't imagine he's happy with this. Like, I can't imagine he's pleased with how this one turned up, because he's made some really, really good movies. Like, you know, he's got range. Like, he's made like comedies, he's made dramas, he's made superhero movies, he's made Ford v Ferrari. Yeah, he's got more range than most filmmakers. Kind of like Spielberg, right?
Yeah.
He made Ford v Ferrari, which was great. He made a horror movie called Identity, which is really good. That's a good candidate to review on the show. He made Walk the Line. Sorry, Logan. He did a good Western with Russell Crowe and Christian Bale. I think it's called 310 to Yuma.
Oh, I love 310 to Yuma. He did 310 to Yuma?
He did 310 to Yuma, which is a remake. But
yeah, I know it's a remake.
It was a good remake. He's made like some really, really good films. But anyway, the craft that's shown by Crystal Skull, like, it's like, yeah, you get all these practical things, but then there were points where Spielberg was like, okay, we got to go CGI for this, right?
Yeah.
And the CGI never look good. And it contrasts with the rest of the film, which is just practical, right? And that's why it feels so silly. Like, the opening sequence, I was rewatching it the other day. Like, the opening sequence in the warehouse is really well put together. It's mostly practical.
Well, and Harrison Ford was, no offense, a lot younger. I mean, you're talking, what, like, a whole, what, 15, 16 years? Actually, what, Crystal Skull?
It was
2008.
Or 2008.
So that means they shot it in, like, 06, 07, like... Yeah,
he was in the 60s. Like, yeah, he was way younger. Not that it matters, because again, I feel like Crystal Skull is another thing that they're like, yeah, this guy is old, but he can hold his own, you know, and he's still young.
And that's kind of the Indiana Jones that I wanted out of this movie.
Yeah,
to be honest, like if it would have had that age of an Indiana Jones, I said 50 earlier, but 50 or 60, that does it. But where they're at now, like. I honestly can't tell you how old Harrison Ford is, but I can tell you that I felt like he was 80 years old in this movie. Like, yes, they made him feel like an 80-year-old. Like, the only thing that would have been different is if they gave him a walker or a cane or something. But, like, and that's my complaint. Like, honestly, that's it. I don't want to see my Indiana Jones as, like, falling over a decrepit old man.
I know. It's just really sad. And then... like, he's lost everything, his wife, and it sort of implies that he doesn't have any friends, even though he has friends everywhere. And Antonio Banderas shows up and he brings some charisma, and then he dies after 5 minutes. It's just like, it's overly complex. I think the last act with him going to the past, that's sort of clever. Like, it was sort of unexpected.
But so I hated it at first, and then I thought about it and I was like, this feels like something Spielberg would have done.
Yes, but then they go back and it's like this. They didn't even, I'm sure, I would bet you, like, money that they never went to a beach to shoot that scene.
Oh,
they
no, were that was just all green screen, 100%.
It was all in Georgia, and, like, it just, like, there's a level, like, just the realness of it, of, like, you know, get a couple, like, I was watching, like, I watched the first, like, 3 minutes of The Little Mermaid. I didn't watch it. I don't know anything about that movie, but I was, you know, it was playing in the background while I was at a party, and, to get a child to go to sleep. And I watched like the first like 3 minutes, and it starts on a ship, and the ship is like fully CGI, and they shot it like on a full green screen environment. And then you compare that to something like Pirates of the Caribbean, which wasn't that long ago, like 20 years ago, right?
Yeah.
Like, there they built like real ships, and they put them like in water tanks, and they had people like swinging. Like, it just,
there's no excuse, because, and I'm saying that there's no excuse, because Christopher Nolan still does it all the time in every movie. He still uses practical effects. Yeah. There are a couple directors out there that still swear by practical effects, and we can see it. Like, someone was pointing out to me the other day, if you just ever look at fire in any CGI, just look at fire, and you'll be able to tell immediately that it's fake. And I started looking at that, and I started looking at all the movies that we watch, and I started looking at the fire, and I was like, wow, how much, I was like, they don't even set things on fire anymore. So I started looking, and no, that's the answer. They don't. They don't light cars on fire. They don't crash cars anymore. They don't blow things up. They don't, like, there are no real effects going on. Not even, like, in some cases, like, not even a campfire. Like, we're talking about that dumb level of stuff.
Yeah.
That they'll just replace a campfire with CG because it's, do it in post. It's easier to handle.
And it's become easier to just like, oh, no worries. We'll get CG to fix this.
Yeah.
And it's, and then, you know, for example, have you seen the trailer for Scorsese's new movie, Killers of the Flower Moon?
Yes.
With Leo. It's like,
oh, I did.
Oil. I haven't seen it, of course, it hasn't come out, but there's some shots where you see like the, like it's a town, like in the old West or something. Like it just, you're there, you know, it's like those Alamos in Oppenheimer, or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like it just feels like it's there. And there's a sense that maybe we're getting old because I'm sure young people wouldn't even notice.
But like, yeah, I think the thing is they wouldn't notice because they haven't, and we've talked about this before, a lot of people haven't seen movies from a certain time frame. And, you know, 2005-ish is right. Kind of that breaking point, I think. And anything pre-2005 is kind of just goes in the, that's old. And anything post-2005, that's superhero, right? Like, really, 2008 is Iron Man. But I say 2005 because Batman really started teeing that all up with what, you know, The Dark Knight and a live action superhero that didn't feel like a cartoon. And then Iron Man just took it to the next level. Right.
Right. And then, but Iron Man,
and then, like it just steamrolled after that.
Like I said, like, I don't like Black Adam. We mentioned it. Like that movie's just like half CGI, right? It's just like sort of ridiculous that they just like go with it. But it's like, well, okay, it's a superhero movie. They want to make it a spectacle. I guess people are used to this. I didn't like it at all, as you know, but again, Indiana Jones, like, there's a perfect way to make an Indiana Jones movie, and we saw it 3 times. You know what I mean? And this, like, this is just, it just made that they would do, like, did you watch that movie Uncharted?
Yes.
You're right.
Right. It was the fake Indiana Jones.
It's kind of like this. It looks just like this.
Yes, it does.
The ending sequence of that movie, it's the only part I watched. There's, like, airplanes carrying 2 pirate ships clashing. What the hell is going on? Like 2 pirate ships clashing.
I mean, but that's so, like, I could accept some of that stuff as just like over the topness. But hear me out. I want it to feel more realistic. And when I say feel more realistic, I don't need every scene to be real. Like if you have two, taking down the context, you have 2 helicopters and they have ships that are like shooting at each other, that's fine to give me that scene every once in a while. This is using CG sparingly. Go back and watch The Matrix. Go back and watch anything from like the late 90s, early 2000s. Whenever they use CG, they had to use it as sparing as possible because if they used it all the time, we could tell. Watch Harry Potter, the first Harry Potter. It's abysmal to watch that CG now, but there's only like maybe 10 scenes in the entire movie with it. Everything else, practical effects. It's the exact opposite now. It's like we might get 10 scenes with a practical effect and everything else is CG. I could deal with the ships in the sky by helicopter if like, that was a 10-second scene, and then all the rest of it was real. But instead, it's all just fake and green screen. And we live in a captain in, what is it, Sky World?
Or Sky Captain in the World of Tomorrow. World of
Tomorrow, yeah.
I know. I mean, it just. And that's why I think, like, from a craft perspective, Crystal Skull is superior. The story might be dumber. The you know, whatever you want to say, the characters, whatever. But there's still, like, a level of craft of, like, Crystal Skull at least sort of understood, like, okay, the majority of this movie needs to feel grounded. Mm-hmm. And needs to feel like it's there. And this movie just didn't feel that way at all to me. And it's especially, like, cringy when you have such an old person playing your main character and just afraid he's going to break a bone every 2 minutes.
Yeah. And, I mean, it just almost comes off as, like, he's doing it for the paycheck and nobody cares about him.
And it's sort of become like a cliche to just bring in Mads Mikkelsen to sort of like, oh, we need a villain. Just bring him in. Like, I like him. He's absolutely great in everything he does. Like, there's no criticism to him personally. I hope he gets paid a shit ton of money for all the stuff he does. Sure, but he does. It's like, he played the chief and it's like, oh, I guess he'll play the Harry Potter villain. I guess he'll play a Marvel villain. I guess he'll play an Indiana Jones villain. He was in Star Wars too, even though he didn't play a villain. But it's just like just throw Mads Mikkelsen. It's like a reliable bad guy. It's like,
I mean, he is like the epitome. When I would have, I will say this, like if I had a Indiana Jones Nazi nightmare and I was casting the bad guy as the lead Nazi, I would still cast him because, like, he's just so good in that role.
But if you think about it, it's interesting because, not that it matters in this context, but the villain's villain, like the main villain of the Indiana Jones movies, had never been a Nazi. Like, you remember in the first one, Belloc, the villain, it's an American working with the Nazis. Mm-hmm. And then in Last Crusade, unless I'm remembering wrong, but it was also an a millionaire who allied with the Nazis because they were facilitating his access to the
Holy Spirit. The American at the end who wanted to drink of the cup. Yeah,
exactly. So they're not like the main bad guy. They're
the henchmen.
They're the henchmen, like you said, like the guy who burns his hand. That's in Raiders. That's the Nazi. You know, so they're just like sort of like disposable idiots, right? And they should be, right? Like it's just, And I don't know. It's like I said, I wish it hadn't made me so upset. I also watched it alone. I went to the theater alone to watch it. And I wanted to talk to somebody about it, but Rachel wasn't there. I was like, oh, fuck.
And I haven't seen it. I actually think I was in like Japan or something, but yeah.
So. That sounds better than this.
It would have been, but
yeah. I mean,
Don't
watch it. And the takeaway here is, if you want to, like, because it's becoming a trend to bring back older individuals to play the characters they played in the 80s. Like, it's becoming a trend. We had Michael Keaton. We had the Cobra Kai people. We had the Star Wars people. We had this movie, like,
Power Rangers.
Power, whatever. Yeah, exactly. We watched that turd. Yes.
Yeah.
Oh my God. We watched some really. So it's becoming a trend to bring these people back. And it's like, if you want to bring them back, fine, I guess. But I feel like you need to have a good reason to bring them back. And this one just felt like, hey, we got Indiana Jones. Harrison's alive.
Yeah.
Just bring him in, you know?
Better do it before we have to make the whole movie in CG instead of 95% of it.
Yeah, exactly. And did you see there where, you don't go on Twitter, but there was on Twitter like some pictures of the guys who did like Harrison Ford's stunt doubles. And they were wearing like sort of like prosthetic masks, kind of like Indiana Jones, Mission Impossible style. So they would look like him pre-CG.
Wow.
Yeah. Creepy. It was very creepy because they still needed to fix their faces. So... yeah, I don't know. Stop it. Just I really do think we're at a cultural shift. I think we're going to go. I think somebody was comparing it to like 60s to 70s. Like the 60s had like spectacle movies and big like Earthquake and whatever. Like Ben-Hur. I guess it's like massive. Well, Ben-Hur was 59, but just like massive, massive movies. And then the 70s sort of shifted to like, okay, let's have like smaller, like let's give a person $20 million. To make an action movie with two action sequences that are just like a car chase, well edited, well put together, and then that's it.
Yeah. I mean, people are definitely going to stretch their budget a bit further and really, I don't know, just stop using so much. I mean, I think that CG will catch up, but it's just not there yet. And I do think that, you know.
We'll understand CG. I would say we will understand that CG is meant to enhance the experience. It's not the full experience. And I think we've sort of lost track of that. And there's like amazing BFX artists. This is not a crap on any BFX artist. It's not
at all
that the movie doesn't look that good. They did their best. They worked like really long hours for this. So, you know, all the respect to those people. It has nothing to do with that. It's a matter of how the movie is put together.
And when it takes you out of the movie versus...
It
really
takes you out of the movie. Yeah, and they probably would... Many of them would probably agree with us. Be like, yeah, you can't have everything be CGI. You need to have a level of realism here. Or at least it feels like you're there. And there's a movie coming out called The Creator. Have you seen the trailer for it?
Yes, I did.
It has like a really good cast with like John David Washington and just a bunch of people. So that movie, you watched the trailer. And I remember I watched it and I was like, this looks like a $250 million movie. because it looks really big in scope. Yeah. It's sort of borrowing from many like other better science fiction movies. But I was reading that it was shot in a way that kept the cost to $80 million.
Whoa.
$80 million. And it looks expensive. It looks like, watch that trailer if you haven't watched it. Like, it looks expensive. It looks put together. It's from the same director as Rogue One. And the visuals are very similar to Rogue One. And it just looks like that. But it cost $80 million pre-incentive. So it might be around, like, net, it might be around,
I mean, 60. If my last closing piece on the CG thing, because we could go all day.
Yeah.
This is it. Go watch Jurassic Park from 1993. It has a couple CG shots in it. And tell me that that movie from 1993 does not look better than any of the Jurassic World series or anything like that. It does. I can already tell you. I mean, yeah, it does. So
it only like Jurassic Park, same as Terminator 2. A lot of these movies, they only become CGI when the practical was just not possible.
Yeah.
Like if you have a full size like that shot of the T-Rex next to the car when it's raining. Like that shot was really too difficult to pull off, but then all the close-ups to the T-Rex's face are just an animatronic.
Well, because it got too wet.
Right.
There was a whole thing about like, if you watch, anyway, I don't want to get into it, but the foam from the T-Rex got soaked from all the sprinklers and it became too heavy to move and all of this other stuff. But just go watch an old movie that uses CG. I'm not saying not use CG, but it uses it in the right ways and it makes the movie like complete, honestly. I couldn't imagine watching Jurassic Park without those CG scenes, like some of the most famous ones, the kitchen scenes, stuff like that. Remember,
to me, I will just, because Star Wars, like modern Disney and Lucasfilm has sort of ruined Star Wars for me. I know you're trying to get me to watch Ahsoka, but like just this, like
they haven't watched it, but yeah.
Yeah. They have ruined Star Wars for me, and a lot of it is based on these kinds of things that they keep doing. Indiana Jones, I've chosen to just forget Dial of Destiny exists. Just remember, because when I came home after watching it, I actually watched Last Crusade. And I was like, this is so damn good. Like, it's so good. It works in so many levels. The action is like really well put together. And the characters are more interesting, and you know,
but it's also Sean Connery and Harrison Ford in their prime, you know.
But here you could say you have Antonio Banderas and you have, nobody's in their
prime. No offense, nobody in this movie's in their prime.
No, I mean, I guess Phoebe Waller-Bridge's.
She's the only one in her prime. Everybody else is way well past their prime. Now, mind you, if this were 1993 or 95, when I would have loved this movie to be made, Antonio Banderas would have been in the middle of his prime and he would have been coming off like Desperado and that would have been awesome.
Yes, exactly. Right after Zorro. Zorro is another really good epic, movie, like that's really well put together with practical effects. If you haven't seen it, The Mask of Zorro. And let me just make one final point, completely unrelated to everything we've been saying. One of the Nazi henchmen was like a massive, massive bodybuilder guy. And I was just like, oh God, this guy's going to hurt like 80-year-old Indiana Jones. He's just going to break his neck or something. Because of course he can't fight him, right?
Well, he tries, right?
No, but then the bodybuilder is killed by the child. Like, what's wrong with these people?
I mean, an 80-year-old man's not going to kill him.
Right, but then have Phoebe Waller-Bridge do it, but not a child. Like, what are you doing? If you have a giant in your movie, you're setting him up to fight someone.
I mean,
right?
And he's huge. That guy's big.
He's huge. Yeah.
He's 7 feet.
He dies underwater.
Just so we do say this, though, I'll give them a little bit of credit. He's actually that big in real life. Like, that's not CG. That's not special effects. That guy is 7'2". He is...
Jesus Christ. How much does he weigh?
I don't have his weight, but I can tell you he's 7'2".
He must be like 500
pounds. He is a straight Viking from the Netherlands. Like, I mean, like, yeah, he's...
Yeah, and then...
He's like the mountain.
Why do you have him? Why do you have him? He's not going to fight anybody.
I don't know. He's from Black Widow, by the way. He was in Black Widow.
Well, there you go. Another Disney favorite, I guess. John, it's been 45 minutes
of us ranting, which is old for us. We haven't done this in a while, but
yeah, we need to review an old movie next week. This needs to stop. Did we review They Live last time? I guess we did. So we did. We did okay.
Yeah, we've been doing our.
All right. Like and subscribe. Well, like and subscribe. Yes, like and subscribe, and do all the stuff. And I don't know. We'll stop ranting.
We're gonna watch something great next week. We're hoping to get some of that like good feel good nostalgia movie. Maybe we could go back and watch some old Indiana Jones movies after we just ranted about how crappy these are. Maybe we will.
That would be a good idea.
All right, everybody.
All right.
Until next time.
See you.